You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people. He just left. This is unbelievable. We got a live broadcast on. I say, let's say hello to the people. And Aaron the Brain literally drops out of the chat altogether. I think he is on his way back now. Brain, are you with us? Can you hear us? What is happening, Aaron the Brain?
I hear you, but I don't know what happened. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
I think, whatever the audio is probably not going to be the same at the end and post because something's up with my Audacity. But anyway, you can hear me. I can hear you so we can have a conversation so we can do a show.
That sounds great. I love it. Welcome.
Oh, wait. One more thing. Hello to the people.
There we go. Much better. Much better, Brain. Thank you. Well, now that you're here, that was much more like it. From your Miami Dolphins, the defense performed exactly as you would have expected against Daniel Jones and the beat-up Giants offensive line. They registered 8 sacks, did not allow a touchdown. The offense was once again pretty stellar, accumulating 524 total yards and now officially besting the 2000 St. Louis Rams for most total yards through first 5 games of a season. Hooray. As Mike McDaniel said, mission accomplished. That's definitely what we've been working towards. That's not to say that it was a perfect performance with the Dolphins turning the ball over 3 times, thanks to a Devon Achane fumble and a pair of, I think, avoidable Tua Tagovailoa interceptions. But despite those less than stellar moments, it was a game where you never really felt like the result was in doubt. So Brain, the Dolphins are now sitting there 4-1, thanks to an assist from the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are alone in first place in the AFC East. There is only one other team in the AFC, the entire AFC, with a record that equals that of the Miami Dolphins, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. So we're sitting there at the worst case scenario. I don't know what the tiebreaker scenario is between us and Kansas City right now, so I don't know who the actual one seed is. That's irrelevant at this point in time. The fact is, the Miami Dolphins are here in first place in the AFC after 5 weeks, 4-1 for the first time since, I think, 2001, which is pretty flipping great, if I do say so myself. So, Brain, it's time to check your pulse.
You check your pulse if you're not fired up.
That's right. It's time for a Dolphins Talk Pulse Check. This is where we ask you, the people, to give us one word to describe how you are feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now. Use it, one word. If you're watching live on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, or if you are on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, first off, stop what you're doing. Smash the thumbs up button. We appreciate that. And then let us know in the comments, one word. How do you feel about the Miami Dolphins right now? And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you how I am feeling right now, Brain, because after the Dolphins put in that performance against the New York Giants, how I am feeling right now is appeased. I am not over the moon with excitement. I am not despondent. I am feeling I just feel very much like we took that one in stride. This is the same old dolphin show. The same old Dolphins thing to do, and something that a lot we've seen a lot of Miami Dolphins teams do, is get their behinds handed to them, as this Dolphins team did in Buffalo a couple weeks ago, and then allow that to send this team spinning off of its axis into a spiral that, you know, where it turns into a 2-3-4 game losing streak. And what happened here was that this Dolphins team came home, went up against an opponent that was clearly an inferior opponent, and they did what they needed to do. And if not for the fact that they screwed up three times with the fumble and those two Tua Tagovailoa picks, this game isn't even close. I mean, and here's the thing. The Dolphins have such an explosive offense right now. This team is performing at such a high level right now that they went into this game, a game where they turned the ball over three times, one of which led to was a direct score, a pick six. And they still won the game by 15 points, still covered the big spread. And, you know, frankly, I never really felt like this was a game that they were in danger of losing. I think there were some moments where I was like, you're kind of letting this team hang around. But every time I sort of had that thought of you're letting this team hang around, they went and turned around and they immediately, you know, asserted their dominance. So I'm really pleased with that performance from the Miami Dolphins. It was exactly what you needed to see out of this team in this moment. But I'm also not getting carried away because I know that this was not a true test for this team. And I know that the next big true test for this team is in 2 weeks on Sunday night in Philadelphia. That's where the next test where we're going to see what this team is truly made of. But the fact is they went in there and they did what they needed to do at home against an inferior opponent. They got the win. It was in the end pretty convincing. And as such, I'm appeased. I feel good. So, before you give me your answer, Brain, we asked the people what their responses were, and I would like to share some of those with you now. I'm heading over to Twitter, and here we go. So we've got at Aaron Seifert says unsure. Mike Wright says unconvinced. Anthony says apprehensive. Jacob says Tua-rific. Jordan Murray this time is elated. Definitely not gassy this time. AHD says uneasy against top teams, but more hopeful than last year. Kevin Dern, scrum truelescent. Steadfastly, two words, but we'll allow it. Mike Andrews is excited. CG is hopeful. NorCal Finns fan says bravado. Ian Carter is relieved. Jim says special. Tua Dime says moist. Me is content. Sean is optimistic. Jen is hopeful. James is happy. Daniel is eager. Realist Vandalico of all time says more. Dolphins talk. Mike is spectacular. Make throwbacks permanent. Throwbacks is their word. Bob T says hopeful. Patrick Mullen says better. Jet says hesitant. Same old Wolfen says nervous, although he's mentioning he's feeling nervous about something else that we'll talk about in a moment. Mr. Tim is pumped. James Sonny Burnett is content. Gail Fisher is stoked. Brian Patrick Dowd is improving. Finn Rutter is optimistic. Mr. Optimistic is good. So a lot of people feeling pretty good over there in Twitter. Let's see how people are feeling here in the chat live in the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. JM Santos is excited. Deuce Deuce is excited. Transformation Robbie is amazed. Let's see. Josh Crystal Ross is fast. Aaron Kaiser energized. Deb Norman Farlow is relieved. Joseph Cipriano skeptical. Jeff Harris upbeat. Ryan Downey rather optimistic. Let's see. Here we got Snakey Yates is encouraged. James Euchre is happy. Sean Singlinger says acceptable, and Tangie Marie says goat. So we got a lot of people pumped up in the chat, that's for sure. Brain, how are you feeling? How is your pulse right now?
So I feel pretty similarly to you, and you know, I'm going to keep it simple. I feel better. This was an improvement over what we saw last week. It was expected to be an improvement over what we saw last week due to the opponent. But also, you know, we have not seen this team handle bad losses well the last couple of years. So it was nice to see them take control of this game right from the jump. Obviously, this was not a great game. But the thing that I come away with in this game is that we've reached a new level of this team that they really haven't been at maybe in my entire lifetime as a Dolphin fan, certainly not in 20 years. I'm trying to remember the last time that I watched a Miami Dolphins team play a game that was really sloppy, relatively poor, but still won the game comfortably. Because this kind of game, where the Dolphins turn the ball over three times, don't force a turnover from the opposition, outgain them in yards 2-1, in years past, would be a game that you look up at the scoreboard at the end and you lost by one possession, and you looked at it and you said, how did we find a way to lose this game? And the Dolphins, it was like they were trying to find ways to lose this game, but they've reached a point now where they're so much better than the Giants that they couldn't lose this game, no matter how badly they played. And yes, part of that is a commentary on how bad the Giants are, but it's also a huge compliment to where the Dolphins are as a team, because there are a lot of teams in this league that are playoff teams, fringe playoff teams, 500 teams, whatever you want to call them, that wouldn't have put up 31 points. And if they went out and they turned the ball over three times and didn't get three turnovers from the opposing team and didn't get any turnovers from the opposing team, they would have lost that football game. But the Dolphins' offense is so explosive at this point that they have a baseline of quality that they're going to put up that is going to make up for some mistakes. And that's kind of what we've been getting at for as long as we've been doing this show, and really since before that, for the 20 plus years that we've been watching Dolphins football, and we've been watching them play the same game where no matter how good their defense is, they're playing these games that come down to one possession. And when you constantly play those games because your offense isn't good enough to put teams away, you lose games that you have no business losing because you allowed the other team to hang around. And even though the Dolphins allowed the Giants to hang around, they were so good offensively, and this is where they're at as an organization. This is not smoke and mirrors. This offense is legit. The defense, it's another question. There's still a lot to clean up. There's still a lot to prove. And frankly, there's still a lot to clean up on the offensive side of the ball as well. But they've reached a certain level right now that certain teams just aren't going to be able to hang with them. And that is really new ground for me as a Dolphin fan. As somebody who's 39 years old and has been watching the Dolphins for about 35 years now, I don't know that I've felt like that. Because even when I look back at the Marino years, I don't necessarily feel like those teams were just head and shoulders, but because with the Marino teams, what I felt like was you were never out of a game because you had Marino and that offense. But I always felt like the Dolphins could certainly screw things up. I never felt like they were just And maybe I'm overblowing it because it was the Giants, but I just think this is kind of where we're at. There are some teams that are that the Dolphins are just not going to lose to because they have just reached a certain level, and it's because of their offense, which is a good place to be. So I'm not over the moon. I don't think they've proven anything with this week. I think they can go out and they could probably play the exact same game next week and they'll probably come away with a victory. You want to see them play better, but I think we're in a much better spot, and having seen them bounce back, I feel generally better about this team. And after watching Buffalo go across the pond and lose to Jacksonville, I'm again reminded of just how much this is a week-to-week league. And the one constant this season has been that the Miami Dolphins offense is going to move the ball and they're going to put up a lot of points. It's legit. It's not going anywhere. And it means the Dolphins are going to have a chance to win virtually every game. And there are some teams that just aren't going to be able to keep up with them.
Yeah. And I think that is something that I think is one of those things that for the longest time, it almost felt like, I don't want to say that I wasn't excited for a Dolphin game come Sunday, because I would always be looking forward to a Dolphins game. You know, it's football Sunday. You're always excited, you know, but there was always this thing of, what am I about to sit through for 3.5 hours? You know, it's like, what is this team about to do to me? Was always kind of this thing that was like living in the back of your head as you were getting ready to watch the Dolphins. And I'm sure there are people listening to this podcast or watching us live right now that understand that feeling of, oh God, what is this team about to do to me? And now it's kind of moved 180 degrees where it's like, when it's time for the Dolphins, I am fired up because I know that I am going to see something explosive and amazing. And I remember a couple of years ago watching that incredible Kansas City Buffalo. I believe it was a divisional round playoff game in Kansas City, where they were going back and forth at the end of the game. Those two teams were just going up and down the field and scoring so fast. And I remember, I think I got into a text exchange with Mike, and I said to him, I was like, you watch these teams play and it's like the Dolphins aren't even playing. It's not like they're not in the same league. They're not even playing the same sport as these two teams. But through the way that players have been recruited and with the offense that Mike McDaniel has built, not only do you now have a team that is exciting and energetic and perhaps one of the most entertaining teams in the league to watch, they are a team that I think almost everybody in the NFL is going to struggle to stop. I mean, Buffalo... You would say that Buffalo's defense performed really, really well against the Miami Dolphins in that game last week. The Dolphins, first of all, still scored 20 points and still probably, as you pointed out in the last episode, would have scored more if the game script had been a little bit different. You know, they actually ended up having to get more aggressive. And it's not like there aren't teams out there that are going to cause them problems. I mean, you look out there and you look at the San Francisco 49ers and you go, like, that is a team that is complete on both sides of the ball that looks absolutely terrifying right now. For me, in looking at the eye test, the San Francisco 49ers are the best team in the National Football League right now, and it's not close. Because they are, not only are they doing it on offense, having their way with teams, they're also doing it on defense. But you look at what the 49ers can do on defense, but you also go, I think the Dolphins could still score against that defense. Now, do I think the Dolphins offense could slow down the 49ers? No, I don't know. But we'll find out about whether or not the Dolphins can slow the 49ers down when we get to the Super Bowl. But before that, we've got a lot bigger fish to fry. But bringing our attention back to this Giants game, Brian, again, this was, I think, an extraordinary achievement, and there is a lot of great stuff to talk about. We can talk about the bad things. We'll go ahead and throw it out there again. I just want to say it. I'm not going to dwell on it because I know that people will kill me. But 3rd and 1, the game is in hand. yes, Tyreek Hill slides to keep the clock rolling. You're trying to run the clock. It's third down and one. Mike McDaniel, run the football. Run the football on third and one. Come on. Throws it past that Jaylen Waddle has to come back to catch. They mark him short of the first down. It's ridiculous. So third down play calling, I still have an issue with Mike McDaniel on. Couple of bad interceptions by Tua Tagovailoa. And listen, I also want to say this. Yes, did the Dolphins get hosed with that non-DPI call on Jaylen Waddle the play before the Tua interception? Yes. Yes, they got hosed with it. But you can't sit there and go, that's the reason why the Dolphins threw a pick six. No. Dolphins threw a pick six because Tua tried to force the ball to Jaylen Waddle when he could have passed the ball to Alec Ingold and made my one hot take correct. That's all I'm saying. You know, I mean, it was a bad decision by the quarterback. So, you know, take accountability for what you, as a fan, don't blame things on the referees. Yes, the referees had a shocker in this game. There was a lot of bad stuff, but over the course of the season, the bad officiating tends to even itself out. It all comes out in the wash. So you can't live in the moment and be living and dying over what a team of officials decides to do. At the end of the day, after that call wasn't made, it was still second and goal from the 4-yard line. So what are we doing? Like you should still be a good enough team that you're not throwing a pick six to be returned for touchdown in that situation. But so again, there were a couple of moments like that from Tua. Obviously the Achane fumble was not great, but largely those were kind of the warts in what was otherwise a pretty good game from top to bottom from this team. It wasn't a perfect game, but they did what they needed to do yet again. And it was, you know, dare I say, easy. I mean, and Devon Achane, I mean, this guy, I just want to say this, Brian, with all due respect, Devon Achane is the single greatest game-changing player that this franchise has had since Tyreek Hill. This is unbelievable. The level of this guy. But what a revelation he has turned out to be.
I mean, outstanding. I don't know. Like every week it's been even better. You know, the vision, the patience, the explosiveness, the tough running, the speed. It's all there. Now, obviously the elephant in the room, you know, he came out of the game early with what they thought was an ankle injury. Now they're saying it's a knee injury, but there's no prognosis. We'll see. We don't really know anything. All we could say, you know, you could go to the doctors on Twitter. You can watch. Oh,
and they're
it.
Out there. The Twitter doctors can't wait to tell you what's going on with Achane's knee.
Just like they couldn't wait to tell you what was going on into his brain after he got hit.
Yes.
You know, so take that for what it is. What I'll say is, in watching it, I mean, he came off the field like shaken up, but he was jogging off the field.
He came back in.
Did he come back in?
Yeah, I mean, he came back in later in the game. Like, he wasn't in there very long. He didn't get the ball or anything, but he did come back in.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think that it's serious, but you never know. Maybe it's one of those things where it kind of swelled up overnight. So, what I'll say is, you need Devon Achane to be healthy and 100%, you know, when it matters. So, if he's going to be struggling with this injury, you've got Jeff Wilson coming along. You got the trade deadline coming up, and you need to showcase him a little bit. Maybe Savon Ahmed gets back in there. You're playing the Panthers next week. Raheem Mostert has looked plenty good when he's had his opportunities. He hasn't been Achane good, but he's been really, really good. So I don't think that we need Devon Achane next week against Carolina. So if there's any doubt as to whether he can go this week, I think you just err on the side of caution. And hopefully, you know, he's ready to go in 2 weeks when they play the Eagles or whenever it is. But hopefully it's not a long-term injury. I would assume that we'll have some idea on that by the time the first injury or the first injury report comes out, which is what, usually Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Yeah, so you know, I'm concerned a little bit. I think all Dolphin fans should kind of keep their eyes out for that. But until there's you know, any sort of definitive news that he's like going on IR, even like the designated to return IR, then I don't think there should be much concern. Then, you know, he's going to miss a week or two.
Yeah,
But
I would agree.
Yeah. So,
but let's talk about, since you're talking about running backs, can we talk about another running back?
Well, before we go into that, I want to do that because I don't want to do what we did 2 weeks ago. Okay. I don't want to say the Dolphins won the game, so we're not going to talk about the negatives because that's not what we do here.
Oh, give us some negatives, Brain. This is very on brand. Let's go.
Because it's one thing to say we scored 70 points. This is not the show to Brain. This is not the show to nitpick. But the Dolphins didn't score 70 points. They won this game by 2 touchdowns, and they kept the Giants. They kept it a 2-score game much longer than it needed to be because of these mistakes.
That's
so
fair.
I think, for starters, the turnovers. That's the obvious low-hanging fruit that needs to be cleaned up. I think at this point, you've kind of realized that this is who Tua is. Once or twice in the game, he's going to make this mistake. And it's Mike McDaniel's job. It's Tua's job, ultimately. But it's also Mike McDaniel's job to say, look, I know what this offense can be, and I don't want to, you know, dissuade Tua. But situational football matters. Red zone matters, second and goal, you know, that's not the time to make a risky throw. Up by 2 scores, you know, up by 18 points or whatever it was, inside your own 30-yard line, that's not the time to make a bad turnover. Like, these things matter. And then also, to your point about the third down stuff and also the second and goal decision, I think that the Dolphins, and this is something that I think long-term needs to be addressed, because there's going to be a time, and it, frankly, it happened last week, that there's going to be a time against a good defense in a big game, in a close game, where you're going to need to just be able to run the ball up the middle, even when they know you're going to do it. The Dolphins right now look a little bit too finesse for me. The offense is amazing, and they can put up all the points. But you know what? The teams that they're talking about, the teams that they're comparing the Dolphins to, the best offenses of all time, the 2000 Rams and the, what is it, 2011 Patriots. Those teams didn't win the Super Bowl, did they?
Mm. Fair.
They got to the Super Bowl, and that would be a hell of an accomplishment. But they didn't win the Super Bowl. And what gave them ultimately trouble is that when they ran into really good defenses, they really weren't able to run the ball up the middle consistently and just play smash mouth football when they need to. I think that there's enough on this offensive line that the Dolphins need to, at some point, flex their muscle a little bit. But the more they shy away from it, the more I think it gets into their head. And I think that they try to get cute. And I think when you try to get cute in those situations is where you get burned. They've got a lot of time in this season to work on that, particularly when you're playing the Giants and the Panthers. So I think that situation late in the game, 3rd-and-1, after you literally, like, the last drive didn't throw a pass and drove the ball down like 75 yards for a touchdown, and you're at that point rushing for over 10 yards per carry, the fact that you can't just say, we're going to run the ball for 1 yard against you, and if we don't get it, whatever, we don't get it. Like, that's your time to take a shot. Like, we don't need to see Tua dropping back, not to mention all the things that could happen in that situation with Tua dropping back to pass, a blown protection, and Tua gets hurt because you're down 15 points and you're throwing the ball. like needlessly against a team that has shown that they can't score. Like, that's a problem. Situational football matters, and there have been too many instances where Mike McDaniel has kind of shown a disregard for situational football. And it's all cute and it's all fun when you're putting up 70 points and you're setting all these records. But when you get to the end of the season and you're playing meaningful football, and that thing, and that is what ends up costing you, it's going to be a problem, and it's going to be looked at. That's all I'm going to say about the offense. The other negative, the defense played a much better game. Obviously, objectively, statistically, in every fashion. But they're lucky they played the Giants, because the Giants left a lot of meat on the bone. There were a lot of third down situations where wide receivers were open and either Daniel Jones missed them, or they dropped it, or they picked it up, because the Dolphins gave up plenty of third downs as well. Third and longs too. So I think there's still a lot to be cleaned up with the defense. I'm happy about getting 7 sacks, but you know what? The Dolphins defense has shown that they can bring pressure on the quarterback in exactly 2 games this season. In both of those games, the opposing offensive line was missing 3 starters. Show that you can do it against a legitimate offensive line. I'm not going to complain about getting 7 sacks, but show that you can do it against some semblance of a respectable offensive line before I start really heaping praise on the defense. Because really, if you're going to sit back in coverage, which is what this defense is designed to do, the only way that's going to work is if you're bringing pressure with 4. And this team has not shown that they can bring pressure with 4. The only time that they've really shown that they can bring pressure, I mean, they brought pressure against 4 against a bad offensive line. But even against the Patriots, they had to bring extra, they brought extra rushers against the Patriots to bring pressure because they didn't respect the Patriots receivers. You're not going to play the Giants every week. Most teams, considering all the points that the Dolphins left out there and the points that the Dolphins offense gifted the Giants, a lot of teams would have made that game very interesting at the end, but the Giants were just so anemic offensively that it didn't matter. So I don't want to do this, what we did 2 weeks ago, where we heaped a bunch of praise and we swept a bunch of things under the rug that we knew were issues, but we said, we're not going to talk about it. And then we all acted surprised the next week when Buffalo, dismantled us.
Sure. So, and I think that's fair. I think that's fair. But you're right. And we said that going in. We said, but it was also something that we said we needed to see. We needed to see the Dolphins go out and sack Daniel Jones 7 times. You needed to see them go out there and take advantage of a beleaguered, injured, makeshift offensive line. You needed to see them do that. And they did. So they did do the task that was set out in front of them. And that's all, ultimately that you could ask for in that situation. Yes, they left a lot out there to be desired, and there's still a lot to clean up, and they're going to get another chance next week with Carolina coming to town to do that before they face a big, big test, which is the big prove it game against Philadelphia. And that's, and that's the test. But, I think this is going to sound weird, but in some ways, because of the quality of a team that the Dolphins have built right now, when you have that soft part of your schedule with the Giants and Carolina, it's almost like you've got, this is going to sound weird, but it is what it is. It's almost like you've got a couple of preseason games in the middle of your schedule during which you can experiment and you can try some different things in order to figure things out and get them ready for the games that really matter, right? Not to say that the Giants game doesn't matter, and not to say that the Carolina game doesn't matter, and not to say that this team isn't paying attention to those teams and doing what they need to do to win, but the nature of the situation that the Dolphins find themselves in, with their team being so much stronger than their opposition, is that they can sort of afford in games like this to have that, you know, have these situations where they're kind of finding their way. And quite frankly, I'm happy for that to happen. Because ultimately, as we've said a million times on this show, how you play and how you look in September and October doesn't really matter. What matters is how your team is playing in December, January, February, getting to that point. So if you can use the part of the schedule in September and October to let guys like Jalen Phillips, my assumption here is that if these were like super meaningful games late in the season, Jalen Phillips is probably on the field for them, right? But the fact is that the Dolphins have shown that they are taking an uber conservative approach with their players early on in the season because they know that they don't need to risk putting them out there right now. And so it's like you've got a team that is really kind of still figuring things out. They're missing, you know, and in spite of everything that we've said, this is a defense that is missing two of its best pieces right now in Jalen Ramsey and Jalen Phillips, right? And was missing them against Buffalo. So this is a team that is trying to bring it back and trying to build itself up. And I think this is something that, you know, while the offense is certainly firing on all cylinders right now, and that's wonderful, the defense is still piecing it together and figuring it out. And ultimately, what's going to matter for this team is that they can figure it out and have it all put together when the rubber meets the road late in the season and you start to have these big, meaningful games. Obviously, it's not quite as cut and dry as that. Obviously, you want to go out there and you want to win every single game. And you've got a big test coming up against the Eagles in a couple of weeks. But the fact is, if they're not playing their best football right now, that's okay, as long as they are building towards playing their best football later in the season. So as long as we're continuing to see improvement, I'm okay with it. And I think we have seen improvement. There are always going to be things to clean up. There are always going to be things where there needs to be improvement. And we're seeing that right now. And so as long as, as long as we don't see a team that is going out there and making the same mistakes week in and week out, which we have seen before with this franchise, then that's okay. Then this is a team that is continuing to grow and learn as the season goes on. And that's ultimately what you want. So that's kind of where I'm at defensively in terms of this game. They did what you needed them to do. They took care of the business that they needed to take care of. Offensively, I mean, they're just continuing to cook. This combination, but there were some things in this game that I think I was really encouraged by. And I don't just mean the obvious things. I don't mean Tyreek Hill is amazing. I don't mean getting Jalen Waddle involved, but that was certainly a good thing to see. I don't just mean like Achan is a revelation, and I think we're all excited about that. And Raheem Mostert is great, and we're all excited about that. And the Dolphins rushing for 222 yards as a team and you know, gaining over 500 yards and, you know, being the most prolific offense in terms of yardage through the first five games of a season of all time. And that's all well and good. But there are some other things that I noticed in this game that I think were things that made me lean forward and go, okay, let's see more of that. And chief among those things was the usage of Chris Brooks in this game. I saw somebody in the comments talking that he wants to see Chris Brooks be the guy who gets the ball in those short yardage situations. And yeah, I mean, that's something that I'd like to see too. But it's when you think about the fact that Mike McDaniel, you know, and this Dolphins franchise signed Alec Ingold to a contract extension. They gave him some more money. You see how important a guy like that is to this team. And to see Chris Brooks in there wasn't a lot. It wasn't a ton of the game, but there were moments in this game where he was lined up in that fullback position, where he was lined up almost as a tight end in this game. And this guy was out there blocking. They were using that big body to their advantage. Was really encouraging, especially when you consider that they just signed, well, they just brought in Chase Claypool from the Chicago Bears. Now, I don't love bringing Chase Claypool in. This is a guy who is basically like essentially getting his last chance here. He's had issues with his demeanor in terms of his ability to be a good teammate, both in Pittsburgh and Chicago, and now he's coming into Miami. But this is a guy that is fast. This is a guy that is big. And this is a guy that I think could really be implemented in very interesting ways with this Dolphins offense. And I think it's just one of those things where it comes back to, for me, it's one of the things that I really like about Mike McDaniel is that he is finding ways to use the personnel that he has available to him in ways that are advantageous to the team. They're loaded with running backs, but Chris Brooks is a big body guy with speed. So let's have him out there and use him as a leading blocker. Chase Claypool is the same kind of guy. What are they going to do with him? Cedric Wilson was out there making plays with his body. You know, big Cedric Wilson was in there. Had his most prolific day as a pass catcher as a Miami Dolphin. Brain, there is some good things, as it sounds like the police are coming for the Brain over there. It sounds like there's sirens outside of his apartment there. It's bad things.
Bad things going on in Davie, Florida right now.
Yeah, that's right. But Brain, this Dolphins offense, Mike McDaniel's kind of in his bag right now. And as much as it annoys the hell out of me in those third and fourth and short situations, overall, it's one of those things that makes you step back and go, okay, I see you.
Yeah, and you got to take the good with the bad, and that's part of it. And obviously, you want to clean some things up. I do have a take about this Chase Claypool trade. And
yeah, let's hear it.
I think you did a great job of queuing it up for me, or teeing it up for me, by talking about Cedric Wilson, because I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden Cedric Wilson had his showcase game. That all of a sudden Cedric Wilson, who could not find the field, was targeted four times and had four catches.
Yeah.
I think that Chase Claypool was brought in to be an upgrade over Cedric Wilson, or at the very least, the same as Cedric Wilson, but cheaper, to save money. And the rollover cap, because we've talked about it the entire offseason about the Dolphins needed to try to trade Cedric Wilson. And it was like, just trade this guy for a seventh round pick and you're going to save $7 million because the cap space is more important than having him as the fourth wide receiver on a team that doesn't really need or doesn't really utilize their number four receiver that much. And so then we've seen, then you saw, you know, just last week or the past 2 weeks, you know, Robbie Chosen has been the guy that's been getting playing time over Cedric Wilson. Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden you bring in Chase Claypool and now you're showcasing Cedric Wilson. Don't be surprised if Cedric Wilson is traded before the deadline. It's going to happen. They're definitely showcasing him, because frankly, I watched that game and Cedric Wilson looked pretty good. Like, if I'm a team that's bereft of wide receiver talent and I'm like, I would give a fifth round pick for Cedric Wilson. Why not? I mean, he's big. He can run. He can clearly catch. Like, I mean, one of those on like a, it was like a skinny post where Tua found him. It was all hands. Like, why wouldn't you give a chance to that guy? There's just not really a spot for him on this roster, really. I mean, there's a spot for him on this roster. There's not really a role for him considering how much money he makes. If Cedric Wilson was making like $2 million a year, like what they're paying Chase Claypool to come in for the rest of the season, then I don't think that you would probably have made the trade for Chase Claypool, but maybe you would have, because really you didn't give up anything for him.
You know what's a team what'd you move that up? Would like, absolutely
you did like a sixth and seventh round pick swap, so you're dropping down probably what's going to be like 15, 20 spots in at the tail end of the draft, and you're paying $2 million for Chase Claypool. I mean, it doesn't move the needle for me, but I don't think it's a bad move.
You know what's a team that could really use Cedric Wilson, actually?
The Giants?
The Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I think there's a lot.
I mean,
the
I
New
know
England Patriots.
New England. I mean, there's a lot of teams out there that could use receivers. So I don't know. Maybe it's possible he gets moved.
I'm be calling it. I firmly believe
Brain is calling it.
And furthermore,
hashtag one hot take.
And furthermore, I'm going to call another one because we don't know what the injury status is on Devon Achane. But I'm going to tell you, Devon Achane is not going to play in this game against the Carolina Panthers. Jeff Wilson is going to play. And Jeff Wilson is going to get shopped and probably traded before the trade deadline. Because you've liked what you've seen out of Savon Ahmed. You obviously love what you have out of Achane and Raheem Mostert. And frankly, what we're seeing now with the way they're utilizing Chris Brooks, and you still have Alec Ingold, we don't need this many running backs. It's amazing, but the Dolphins are actually incredibly deep at the position that so many Dolphin fans thought they were extremely thin at coming into the season. Achane's not going to play. They're going to feature, whether it's Savon Ahmed or Jeff Wilson, whoever they feature, when Achane misses this game, they're going to pop a few big runs. And then they're going to get traded.
I love it. I love you coming, bringing the thunder with a hot take on a Monday. I love it. I love it, Brain. That's good stuff. Is there anything else that you want to talk about in regards to this game? I think we've really kind of hit it out. We don't need to get deep into the numbers. Obviously, the big thing coming out of the game is Achane's status. And that is still a mystery. We'll have an idea as we go through the week. Wednesday, when the practice report comes out, we'll find out where he's at. But otherwise, there was just a lot of positives. I mean, Tua did not have let's talk about Tua just for a minute, okay? Because this is, I think, an opportunity to make a little bit of a point here. Tua in this game, I think everybody would say, he didn't really have a good game. You know, for Tua, he didn't really have a great game. It was just kind of meh. He was 22 of 30 for 308 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but a 100.4 rating. That is now considered a meh game for Tua Tagovailoa. The fact of the matter is that this guy is playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And that just kind of is what it is. and we talk about things that need to get cleaned up. We've kind of said this about Tua his whole career. And I think it's still there now. But the fact of the matter is, as well as he is playing, and he's playing at a pretty high level at this point, he still has the tendency to one or two times in every game make a really boneheaded decision. You know, whether it's trying to force it in or just making an ill-advised throw or something like that, holding on to the ball too much, he still has that tendency. And we've seen it a few times this season. And thus far, it hasn't really proven to be terribly costly. And so the hope is that they can find a way to get that, to just get that little tendency under control before he does make that big mistake in a big game, in a big spot that truly does cost the Dolphins dearly. Thus far, that hasn't really been the case. You can say that he made a couple of those decisions in the Buffalo game, and it sort of, you know, maybe halted the Dolphins' ability to make a big comeback. But the way the defense was playing in that game, I don't know that it truly mattered one way or the other, really. But either way, I think you've got a quarterback that is playing at a very high level right now. And if like, I mean, I think it's safe to say at this point through 5 weeks, if he continues to play like this for the course of the season and stays healthy, this is a guy who is going to receive a handsome extension with the Miami Dolphins. And it's going to happen this offseason. I think there's no doubt about it. I don't think the numbers are going to be eye-popping. He's not going to be the highest paid quarterback in the league, but this is a guy that's going to get himself paid if he can play at this level for the course of the season. But I think that's really a great thing. The Dolphins just, they're a dynamite team. And, you know, it's kind of fun to be a fan of a football team that can pretty well smoke their opponent without even really getting out of cruise control. And that's kind of fun. Now, obviously, it's going to be a different case when you got a really tough opponent. And in all likelihood, they're going to be going up against a 7-0 Philadelphia Eagles team in a couple of weeks. But, you know, the Dolphins may very well find themselves... Or 6-0, they'll be sick. They'll be facing a 6-0 team. They're very well going to be 5-1 themselves. So, listen, I'm enjoying watching this Miami Dolphins team play football right now. And while it's a little early, it's still way too early. I mean, at this point in time, they certainly don't look like the same old Dolphins to me, Brian.
They don't. But. Let's remember that the same old Dolphins encompasses a very large era of Dolphins football.
Sure
that's
does.
Not just the last 20 years.
It also encompasses that team that started 5-1.
It also encompasses, you know, it encompasses the Dan Marino teams that were very good and had a lot of expectations going into the playoffs and had high powered offenses. So, you know, we've said this a million times. There's literally nothing that the Dolphins could be 16-1 going into the playoffs, and they could still turn out to be the same old Dolphins.
Right.
Like there's nothing that they can do in the regular season to definitively prove that they're not the same old Dolphins until we get to January and they win some big games. That said, if they go 16-1, I'm feeling pretty damn good about where they're at. What I do think, and we'll get into this as the season goes on, where hopefully we're sitting here and we're still having the conversation about tiebreakers and, you know, are the Dolphins in place for a bye and home field advantage. The one loss that the Dolphins had, the one time that this offense really looked, really the two times that the offense really kind of looked human, was on the road against good defenses. Communication was a problem. Wouldn't be a bad idea to try to lock up home field advantage and be playing in the comfy confines of the Hard Rock Stadium when you get into the playoffs. But they have a long way to go to do that. They gotta keep getting better. They gotta fix the little minor things. But yeah, as far as Tua, you're right. He's playing at a very high level. The mistakes, you hate to see those little things. But that's when it's like you also kind of have to remember, like, yes, we're playing. We have a high standard right now. The bar has been elevated. We know that he's a very good quarterback. But now we have to make the determination. Is he an elite quarterback? Is Tua, you know, going to be the guy that you're going to give, you know, the $45, $50 million a year mega contract to? And, you know, it's not just about whether or not he stays healthy. It's about does he consistently get better at moving through his progressions to his third and fourth reads? Does he limit those mistakes? At this point, the way he's playing right now, as bad as some of these mistakes are, it's like when you look at the pantheon of great quarterbacks in this league, it's not like Dan Marino didn't throw a whole bunch of interceptions. It's not like Brett Favre didn't throw a whole bunch of interceptions. It's not like Drew Brees didn't throw a whole bunch of interceptions. Like, I mean, Drew Brees has always kind of been the comp as far as like what's the ceiling of Tua. And he's kind of hitting that right now. But even Drew Brees, it took him, you know, 4, 5, 6 years before he really hit like that level of, you know, this guy is a dominant, consistent, top-notch quarterback. I think it was his fourth year, fourth or fifth year in the league when he went to New Orleans, where he kind of hit that, and he was kind of playing at the level that Tua is now, where he's putting up monster numbers, but was he necessarily winning things? He was still throwing a lot of interceptions, and it still took some time for things like that to get cleaned up. So the fact is that Tua is playing at an extremely high level, and he's only getting better because he's getting better with the mental part of the game, and physically it's all there. And the talent is just coming out. It's oozing out. And then you've got this offense that's been perfectly built around him. So it's exciting to see. We just need to see the rest of the team come together. They just need to clean up a couple of things.
Yeah. So they're in a good place right now. But there's they've played four games. Or excuse me, five games. Five games. They're 4-1. So long way to go. And Brain, it was that 2002 Miami Dolphins that started the season 5-1. You care to guess where that team ended up that season?
Was that the team that started like 7-1 or 7-2?
They started 5-1.
Did they miss the playoffs?
They finished 9-7 and missed the playoffs.
Oh, Jesus. That's the Ricky Williams year.
That was the year had to do was win one of their last two games at Minnesota and at New England, and they lost both of them, including the New England game at the last season finale in overtime.
That's right. Yep. Oh, God, that was a frustrating. And that was what was even more frustrating about it is that they were like 9-4 or 9-5 or something like that.
They were 9-5.
They had just beaten the Raiders, who ended up being the AFC Super Bowl representative.
Yep.
And they had the number one seed going into like the last 2 weeks of the season. And then they completely fell apart.
They went from having the number one seed to missing the playoffs, finishing third in the division. But one thing that'll help this year's team, having four of your final five games at home. So hopefully that is something that the Dolphins can rely on too. Carry them through.
Well, that's going to be even bigger when you consider if this team plays so finesse and is scared to run up the middle, like you're going to need good weather for this offense to work if you're going to be scared to run up the middle.
Yeah. So anyway, that is going to wrap us up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Make sure you're following us on Twitter on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I am at Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. You can also find us on Blue Sky. You can also download, review, rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcasts. We appreciate you for doing that. Make sure you subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Turn on notifications so you're notified every time we go live. You should also visit DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. You should also get yourself some skincare products from Caldera Lab and use the promo code DolphinsTalk to save 20% off of your order. Do all of that stuff. And then you should also just take it easy. Take it one day at a time. And remember that it could be a whole lot worse than it actually is. It's just kind of good life advice. But that's going to wrap us up. We will be back Thursday to preview the game against the Carolina Panthers. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
He had Alec Ingold wide open in the middle of the end zone.